Back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. On this show, this evening broadcast, Radio Night Live, the purpose of it has been to help people be empowered with information that they can then go and change their life with. And we do it informationally in the midst of a busy news talk cycle. We take this 1 hour each night to narrow in on different pockets of information, be it finance, be it wellness, be it tourism and fun in the city, and how we can help make New York City kind of come back from everything that pandemic and everything else took away from it. Tonight's guest here for normally we speak with the Fox News Medical All-Stars, and we're talking about the biggest medical headlines of the day. But tonight's guest is going to help us go deep on one specific medical issue that I think has touched a number of people. In fact, as I was thinking through just my own circle of friends over the last couple of days preparing for this, I was reminded of how many people I've known personally that have struggled with a relative, a loved one, a spouse, a grandparent that has faced Alzheimer's, and what they have experienced as a result of that. And it's very difficult in most of those stories that I've mentioned. Dr. Keith Vossel is a professor of neurology, and he's the director of the Mary S. Easton Center for Alzheimer's Disease Research at UCLA, part of the David Geffen School of Medicine there. It is a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you for sharing time with us tonight on this Wednesday.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I think whenever the word Alzheimer's or dementia or other types of mental incapacitation start to get invoked into the life of a family or of an individual, there's a real sense of helplessness. And so I'm hoping that for the next three segments, we can provide a little bit of hope for this. But I think it's hard to get to where we need to be without understanding where we are. So for your own background, what caused you to take interest in Alzheimer's research? What is it about this disease specifically, and how it came about and how we know about it, that you decided to make it your life's work?
Well, as you know, Alzheimer's has a huge impact on society. As I entered into medical school, I had studied biomedical engineering and had been interested in cervical spine mechanics. But during that time, I worked with neurosurgeons who taught me about the nervous system, and that really appealed to my engineering side, knowing that just symptoms that patients can present with can help us to localize a lesion in the brain or the spinal cord. Then in residency, I really became fascinated by the molecular underpinnings of the disease. It's really mysterious, and it's a big black box. And as a neurologist, we're often like detectives trying to figure out a very complicated scenario. And another aspect of this disease that drew me to it is that I meet really fascinating people in my practice. What we need to do as we evaluate somebody who develops memory loss is to gather an entire biography of who they are, where they come from, what have been their lived experiences, and how have those experiences changed recently. And I really enjoy my time with patients, getting to know them and understanding what potentially is going on in the brain. It is sometimes the case that we are able to pinpoint causes for decline in cognitive functions that do or do not relate to a neurodegenerative disease like dementia. So I think it relates to my interest in tackling a disease that has a large societal impact, as well as my personal interest in how the disease manifests and how it affects our sense of who we are and humanity, really.
When I speak with people that have a loved one, particularly spouses that have loved ones that have been diagnosed, as the disease gets worse, the pain that is experienced by the partner who isn't sick is oftentimes more pronounced in some ways than the one that is losing the cognitive and memory functions. And I'm curious if you would say that's the case with most.
It really sometimes depends on the type of dementia. Dementia is an umbrella term, and there are roughly 55 million individuals in the whole world who experience dementia. Well, dementia is caused by many forms of degenerative diseases. 70% roughly of those are due to Alzheimer's disease. And when somebody experiences dementia, they sometimes lose their insight into the problem, and they may not be aware of the memory loss or other cognitive functions that are declining. And then the burden really falls on the caregiver to help keep their loved one safe and to watch after them. This can happen with Alzheimer's disease. It's less common with Alzheimer's than some other dementias, but certainly as the disease progresses, the lack of awareness of one's abilities and inabilities becomes more prominent. And the burden really does fall on the caregiver. And in many ways, and we see that the caregiver burden can actually have an impact on their health as well.
Sure.
That's why at UCLA Health, we have several caregiver support groups. And every time I encounter patients who I've diagnosed with dementia, I always spend nearly half the visit talking to the caregiver about their own well-being and how they can seek help at home, as well as looking for ways to seek support outside of the home.
Let me ask you this for those that may not be as familiar. What is Alzheimer's specifically, and how does it appear on the spectrum of what you call dementias?
Well, Alzheimer's disease is a pathological diagnosis, and it was named after Alois Alzheimer, who was a German physician who encountered a young lady who had developed cognitive decline in her 50s, a very unusual case of dementia. And at that time, we were beginning to develop more modern tools to look under the microscope at what is happening in the brain. And what Professor Alzheimer's saw was, with a technique called silver staining, he saw these clumps of aggregates inside the brain, which were later termed neurofibrillary tangles and amyloid plaques. Since that discovery over 100 years ago, we have made a lot of advances in understanding what causes the amyloid plaques and neurofibrillary tangles. Some of it relates to genetic causes, and in fact, cases such as the one that Professor Alzheimer first encountered are often due to familial mutations that are inherited from parents to their children in half of the cases. We've also found that there are roughly 30 risk genes that...
Hold that thought. We're going to take a break. We're coming right back. We're talking about Alzheimer's with Dr. Keith Fossil. Stay here.